Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. Thanks so much for listening in this morning. My name's John Racine with the Church of Las Vegas. I'm sure glad that you're here with us this morning. Hey, have you ever heard that saying, look before you leap? Well, here's a cute little laughter kind of a thing to illustrate that. The photographer for a national magazine was assigned to get photos of a great forest fire. Smoke at the scene was too thick to get any good shots, so he frantically called his home office to hire a plane. "It will be waiting for you at the airport," he was assured by his editor. As soon as he got to the small rural airport, sure enough, a plane was warming up near the runway. He jumped in with his equipment and yelled, "Let's go, let's go!" The pilot swung the plane into the wind, and soon they were in the air. "Fly over the north side of the fire," said the photographer, "and make 3 or 4 low passes." "Why?" asked the pilot. "Because I'm going to take pictures," said the photographer with great exasperation and impatience. After a long pause, the pilot said, "You mean you're not the instructor?" All right, I think you got that one. But it's always good to look before you leap, isn't it? It's always good to consider and think about things and make sure you know where you're going before you commit to it. And that kind of goes with what we've been talking about recently in Hebrews chapter 11, okay, the faith chapter of the Bible. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. And let's again be reminded of another definition or part of faith over in Romans chapter 4 concerning Abraham. He did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. All right, that's what faith is, being fully persuaded that God has the power to do what he promised. Now, we've talked about that by faith, we understand the universe was formed at God's command. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. And last time we talked about by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. And why did he do that? The Bible says, "For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God." In other words, he found out what pleased God, he listened to God's word, and he did what God said. And the writer here of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God." Not difficult, not hard. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. This is why faith is the foundation of our relationship with our Creator. It can't be by anything else but faith. Not a blind faith, not, well, you know, I hope so, but because God has revealed himself to us in creation, in his word, through Jesus, his son, okay, he expects us to trust in him. He expects us to believe and be fully persuaded that what he says is right. And so without faith, it's impossible to please God. Not just difficult, impossible to please God. because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. Okay? Must believe that he exists. So many don't. So many have hardened their hearts and refused to, and yet we know that he does, in spite of all those things that the Bible tells us about our good Heavenly Father who created us, through whom all things were created. We must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You know, so many people think that God's just a big meanie that's just out to judge everybody and everything and to be grouchy and whatever else people think about him. But God wants to reward those who earnestly seek him. He wants to give good gifts to those who will listen and follow after him. And so without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I hope that this morning you are one that earnestly seeks him, not just haphazardly, not just when it's convenient, not just when things are not going right for you and you have to call out to God to bail you out, but rather that you acknowledge God, that you believe that he exists and that you thank him and recognize him for all those little wonderful things that happen every day that sometimes we overlook in so many ways. And so let's listen to our first song this morning. This is a song called Breathe by Johnny Diaz, and it just kind of reminds us in all the hustle and bustle of life and everything that goes on around us, just to stop and just slow down and take it easy and cast all your anxieties on the Lord because he cares for you, and just breathe. All right, let's listen.
Alarm clock screaming, bare feet hit the floor. Yeah, it's off to the races, everybody out the door. I'm feeling like I'm falling behind. It's a crazy life. 90 miles an hour, going fast as I can. Trying to push a little harder, trying to get the upper hand. So much to do in so little time. It's a crazy life. It's ready, set, go. It's another wild day when the stress is on the rise. In my heart, I feel you saying, just breathe, just breathe. Come and rest at my feet. And chaos calls, but all you really need is to just breathe. Third cup of joe just to get me through the day. Wanna make the most of time, but I feel it slip away. I wonder if there's something more to this crazy life. I'm busy, 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 and it's no surprise to see that I only have time for me, me, me. There's gotta be something more to this crazy life. I'm hanging on tight to another wild day when it starts to fall apart. In my heart I hear you say, just breathe, just breathe. Come and rest at my feet. And be, just be. Chaos calls, but all you really need is to take it in, fill your lungs. The peace of God that overcomes, just we just breathe.
All right, we're back this morning, and we are in Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to be starting in verse 7. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, another example of faith. It says in Hebrews 11, 7, by faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. All right, Noah is somebody that most people have heard about. And even if you aren't a regular churchgoer, Noah's Ark is something you've heard about. And so in Genesis chapter 6, we find out kind of what's going on in verse 5. It says, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all of the time. And the Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. And so the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. I'm sure glad that he did, because if it wasn't for Noah and his family and God's grace and mercy, we wouldn't be around. And so it's sad, though, that so much of what happened here was that the human race had become so wicked and ungodly. Now it says in verse 9 that Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Now remember, that was the same thing we heard about Enoch, wasn't it? That he walked faithfully with God. And so here's another example of someone walking faithfully with God, Noah. And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And God saw, in verse 12, God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. And so God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you're to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high, which to us now would be about 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. And he gave Moses very detailed instructions about how to build the ark. And he said in verse 17, I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has the breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish. But then he says in verse 18, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive. And so verse 22 goes on to say that Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Now that's really the crux of what we want to talk about back here in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. We're not going to go into all the details of Genesis 6 and Noah and the ark, but I want you to see and be reminded and understand again that God had made up his mind to bring about judgment and destruction upon the earth. And he was going to wipe out all of humanity. And yet, here was a man that walked faithfully with God. And so God, in his grace and mercy, said, okay, Noah, I'm going to allow you and your wife and your sons' wives to live. And I want you to bring in the animals into the ark too. Definitely possible with those dimensions. And so in Hebrews 11 and 7, going back there, it says again, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen. Okay, so by faith, Okay, God told him what was going to happen. God's word instructed him about what was coming, this great judgment against the people of the earth at that time. And so, by faith, when he was warned about things not yet seen, this flood, this worldwide flood that was going to wipe out all of humanity at that time, when warned about those things, he didn't say, "Oh, come on, God, really? You know, don't be so quick and just chill out and come on, we're not really that bad, are we?" He didn't do any of that, did he? He didn't argue with God. God told him, "This is where things are at. This is what I plan to do. And Noah, this is what I want you to do." Now, Noah had a choice in these things. God didn't make him do this. But God knew, because of Noah's faithfulness already to him, that he would follow through. And Noah did. It says, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. Now, sometimes people say, well, you know, there shouldn't be any fear. Well, I'll tell you what, some of God's judgments are pretty fearful sounding, okay? If God had told me that he was going to flood the earth, I think I'd want to listen to him too, wouldn't you? I don't want God's wrath and judgment on me. I don't want God to treat me fairly or give me what my sins deserve. I don't want that, and I hope you don't either. And so Noah, when God warned him about these things, even though I'm sure he'd never built a boat before or one that big, and God telling him these things are going to happen, he got frightened because of those things. And yet, he didn't allow his fear and his fright to keep him from doing what God asked him to do. He used that as a motivator to do what God told him to do. He trusted God. He believed in him. He was assured that God was going to rescue him, and yet he knew he needed to obey God for that to happen. And so, by faith, Noah built an ark to save his family. And that's exactly what he did. You know, what's so amazing is that all those years that he was building the ark, that you know people asked questions, you know people probably came and laughed and mocked, and what are you doing? And I'm sure he told them what was going to happen, and they probably just continued to laugh and mock, and they may have even tried to persecute him or try to sabotage what was going on. We don't know. It doesn't tell us all of those details. But we know that Noah did finish building that ark, and through it he saved his family. And it goes on to say, by faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is keeping with faith. He didn't go around, you know, condemning all of them, but just through his faith, just through his obedience to God, and I'm sure sharing the things that God had told him, that he condemned the world. Why? Because the world wouldn't listen. The world didn't repent. The world just kept right on being wicked and ungodly, even after they had heard about the judgment that God was going to bring on the world. And so Noah condemned them by listening to God, by walking faithfully before God. And so by his faith, he condemned the world, and today God's people still condemn the world. You know, there's a much greater judgment coming than a flood of water. It's the judgment of God, where each person will stand before God and give an account of their actions and their right and their deeds. And so it says that Noah became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. That's the kind of righteousness that God wants us to have. Not a righteousness of our own, not that we're good enough or we deserve it or we tell God that we've done this and that and the other. No, but a righteousness that comes from faith, a righteousness that acknowledges God, that listens to God, that's obedient to God, that recognizes God as the creator, as the redeemer, as the king of the universe. I hope that's where you are. That's where Noah was, and that's why I believe Paul used him as an example here in this. Noah didn't shrink back and was destroyed. Noah had faith, and because he had faith, an obedient faith, God saved him and his family. All right, let's listen to our next song this morning. This is a song by Jonathan Thulin called Architecture. And I want you to know that God is the great architect and that you can trust him to build you a solid foundation if you'll turn to him in faith. All right, let's listen. Right, we're back this morning, and I'd like you to jump over to 1 Peter chapter 3 if you're following along in the Bible this morning. You know, we're in Hebrews chapter 11 in the faith chapter, but I want to remind us this morning that faith is not just believing. I hope you see that in the examples that we've already given from Hebrews chapter 11, that each of these characters did something. They didn't just believe something, but that belief caused them or motivated them to live in a specific kind of way. A way that pleased God, a way that was faithful or in line with God's word about whatever subject or whatever matter that they were a part of. And so I want you to realize this morning, as a Christian, if you're listening this morning, that it's not just about faith, believing in God or believing in Jesus, but it's about living like God or living as Jesus. Let me give you an example in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. He says, finally, all of you, now he's been talking about wives and husbands and that kind of relationship, but in verse 8 of 1 Peter 3 says, finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you are called, so that you may inherit a blessing. So Peter doesn't just talk about a lot of, you know, high theological, lofty kind of things, but he brings being a follower of Jesus Christ into our actions. Okay, being like-minded. That's not easy to do. It doesn't just happen. It's something we have to work on. It's something we have to strive to be, and we have to get to know each other and talk to each other and ask questions of each other and find out what we do believe, and then make a comparison of that to what the Word of God says so that we can be like-minded, okay? Sympathetic, okay? That we try to understand each other, that we're not hard-hearted or we don't care about each other. We're sympathetic. We love one another. Okay, that's what Jesus called us to do, right? By this, they'll know you're my disciples by the way you love one another. Okay, being compassionate and humble. Okay? It's so very easy to get proud and arrogant and just thinking about ourselves. But the Holy Spirit of God calls us to something higher than that. And especially in verse 9, don't repay evil with evil or insult with insult. That's the flesh. That's what the world does. That's what comes naturally, if you would. But on the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called. It's what Jesus did. Although they mocked him, although they crucified him, he didn't answer them in harshness. He allowed his own creation to crucify him. And then Peter goes on to quote Psalm 34 here. And he says, For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. That's exactly what we were talking about at the beginning of the broadcast. God's face was against those who did evil, who thought evil, who spoke evil. But his eyes were on Noah, a man who loved righteousness. And so as we come to the end of the broadcast this morning, I want you to, you know, be encouraged to be a person of faith. But just recognize that faith in and of itself isn't going to just save you. It has to be faith in God, faith in Christ that motivates us, moves us to do what God has asked us to do, to be godly people. Hey, we're the church at Las Vegas. We'd love to meet you, to get to know you a little bit better. We meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard, right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. We'd love to see you Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, or Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. Any one of those times would be great. 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. You can also find out more about us on the web at thechurchatlasvegas.com. Ask any questions or concerns you have there in the contact section. And we just want to keep encouraging you to walk by faith, to keep your hope in God, and to keep standing on the solid rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.